this morning to adore a wonderful, awesome Savior. This is why we're here this morning, because God loves you, because God wants you to experience Him and to the fullness this morning. We're here this morning because God's got a word for each of us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to bless this time together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You because You are on the throne. God, we come to You because we adore You, we love You, we appreciate You. And God, we thank You for how good You have been to us, how gracious, how merciful, how forgiving You have been to us. And God, we just thank You how You have ministered to our deepest hurts, our pains, our struggles, the trials, the heartache of life. God, we thank You that You have ministered to us, that You have loved us, You have comforted us, You have showed us that peace that passeth all understanding. God, most of all, we thank You for Your grace. And God, as we study Your Word, as we share it, as we glean the truths from Your holy Word, may You speak to each of us individually, and may You speak to us corporately as a church body. God, we want You to open our hearts and our minds. We want the Holy Spirit to move in our lives in a powerful way this morning. Because God, You are God. And we want the Holy God to come and speak to us this morning. Whatever we're going through this morning, whatever struggles or whatever pains, whatever joys, whatever we're going through this morning, may we just for a few moments be focused on our holy God and allow You to speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We have been going through the whole book of Ephesians, and we have been learning that the book of Ephesians has really shared with us individually about a holy God who saved us from our sins. We were once dead in our trespasses. We once were dead to life, and now because of Christ has entered into our lives, we are now have life. We are now a child of His. He has given us His joy, His peace, and His love, and His grace in our lives. Because of His grace, you and I are in the light. So we are to be the light. We are to be the salt. We are to be His children out there in the world. We are to be imitators of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, or verse 21 tells us to submit to one to another. In other words, we are to work with each other. We are to share our lives with each other. We are to help each other on this walk with Christ. We are to look at our families and each other in the body of Christ and look at what they need. Put their interests and their wants and their desires and what is best for them ahead of ours. In Ephesians 5:18, we learn that we are to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God that indwells within us as a child of His. If you are a Christian here this morning, if you have given your life over to Christ this morning, the Holy Spirit reigns in your life. He indwells. He is inside your life. And God's Word has told us that the Holy Spirit of God is the controller. He is the one that guides you and leads you into this daily walk with Him. And many of us throughout our week, do we not, struggle with our Christian walk? I know I do. And if we're honest this morning, each of us struggle with this walk of Christ. Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesus church, the believers in Christ, how to live a holy life, how to live the way Christ wants you to live. And Apostle Paul is sharing with us, in order to have right relationships with each other, our relationship with our spiritual father needs to be right. Many of us are struggling in relationships in this life. And we have learned because of that, it could be that our relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Our relationship with God needs to be intact. It needs to be in a, such a place that every time we think, we say something, we do something, it is to honor and glorify God's holy name. The last 2 weeks now, the Apostle Paul has moved it from an individual a responsibility with our walk to Christ, now responsibility with one another. The last 2 weeks we heard and was taught and gleaned from God's Word about husbands and wives, how husband is supposed to love the wife as Christ loved the church. He is supposed to be the spiritual leader, the leader of the home. Not domineering, not dictator, but leading his wife and children into the ways of God. And we learn that the wife is supposed to be the helpmate and to be submissive and to allow the husband to lead her. She needs to respect and encourage and to be there at his side. Now the Apostle Paul comes in Ephesians chapter 6 and he continues this relationship within the home. There are many homes this morning that are dysfunctional. There are many homes this morning that are struggling. A wife to husband, husband to wife, parents to their children, children to their parents. And the Apostle Paul is laying out that we need to not only get our lives straight with God, but we need to control and get our home to where it needs to be in Christ. There are a lot of mom and dads out there just giving to the whims of their children and letting the children be the parents of the household instead of the parents being the household. We are kind of outsourcing our children, aren't we, parents? We expect that the school be the main educator academically for our children. We outsource them to the school teachers. Then we outsource them over here to the ball fields and let the coaches teach them the athletics and all that that entails. And then we come over here and we outsource our children to whoever's teaching them how to play piano or guitar, whatever. And then we outsource them to other parents and friends. I am amazed how many parents will allow their children be gone so much into other people's homes and not their own home. It is not the other parent's responsibility to teach your kids. It is your responsibility to teach your own kids. And guess what? We as parents today, many outsource the responsibility of their spiritual walk with their children to the church. It is not the church's sole responsibility to teach your children the ways of God, parents. It is your responsibility, as we're going to see in the Word of God, it is your responsibility to teach your children the ways of God. We are just a resource. We are a tool to help you to do that. It is not up to the children's ministry or the student ministry to train every aspect of your child's life spiritually. We are a secondary source. God instituted the family before He instituted the church. And it is about the family. And so we come here in this passage and we see that there's a lot of great little life lessons in this. Would you please stand in the reading of God's Word as we read Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children or provoke your children to anger. Instead, bring them up in the training or discipline in the instructions of the Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. In the beginning, God established the family as the first human relationships. We learned, as I said a couple weeks ago, about the husband and wife. Today, the children, next week, about other relationships out there that we encounter. From that family, God built society, and nothing has changed in today's world. The family is still the foundation unit of society. In fact, no church, no community, or no nation is stronger than the families that makes it up. Many families, as we've already shared, are dysfunctional. Probably every home that is represented here has some dysfunctional aspect to your family. Sometimes we get kind of get bent out of shape with each other. We have bad thoughts with each other. We kind of pop off and we're mean to each other. We are some dysfunctional way of relating one to another. But God wants to help us this morning to understand that parents, you must make a stake. You must have a strong presence in your children's presently and in their future life. You have a stronger emotional investment in your children than anyone else. They are a part of you. God has given your children to you. And it is your responsibility to raise your children in the ways of God. Parenting is tough. Parenting is hard. Parenting is consuming. And it is very tiresome, isn't it? But we need to enjoy this journey called parenting. Because God's Word says that our children is a gift to us. He has given that responsibility and that authority to us to raise our children, to teach them, to instruct them, to discipline them, to guide them, to give them the resources that they need so when one day when they leave the house, they can make it in this world. That is our responsibility. Bill Hybels once said, "Parents, I have to remind you, nannies, babysitters, relatives, and daycare workers never will give an ultimate account to God for how they raised your children, only you as their parents." Parents, how do you view your children this morning? As interruptions or as treasures which God has entrusted to you to care for? James Dobson once says, "As a parent, your job early on is to break their will without crushing their spirit. You will be tempted time and time again to weaken and give in and go back on your word. But let me encourage you, parents, don't do that. These kids need to know that there are secure behavioral boundaries established by parents who love them. If you don't discipline them, they will not respect any authority, whether it's yours, a teacher, a police officer, or most of all, God's authority. That is your responsibility. Parents, we have an awesome privilege and responsibility to raise our children. It is what Billy Graham once said, children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. Give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they see clearly, and you give them something more than gold and silver can buy. And that is Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Ephesians chapter 6 here, we see that there is a different cultural context. In the Old Testament days, Christians were seen... Thank you, brother. Christians were seen to be a threat to society and a threat to the family structure. Paul is quick to point out that Christianity demands a higher standard in a relationship in the family. God has taken the Old Testament standard, the Old Testament laws of the Roman and Jewish ways, and He's bringing it back in and through Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. The Apostle Paul is sharing with the Ephesian church and you and I today that there is a different standard than what the Old Testament people faced. The family would have been together, including the children, when they were reading the Word, the Old Testament books, the law, or even some of the others. The family came together, and the children were probably present, and so they were hearing about the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. They were hearing about Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, that says that we, the children ought to obey and honor their parents, that it pleases God. And they also heard in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, where it says that we as the men and women and parents and the adults need to teach and to train our children up in the ways of God. We need to teach them day and night. Every time that we are around them, every time we do something with them, it is a teachable moment about God's glory and God's grace and God's love. And so Apostle Paul was going back to the Old Testament, and he was bringing it back into this new standard, this new culture that God was leading to. Now you got to understand that Paul was a Roman citizen. He lived in the Roman Empire and he was subject to the law. And many of the followers of Jesus were taught this law. And the Apostle Paul was trying to help them and these families in Ephesus church to understand that they need to obey the law, but their most important part of life is that they are the citizens of the King of Kings and of heaven. And Apostle Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, set forth a new household standard for God to lead and guide followers of Jesus in their home life. So as we see here, that parents and children are reminded in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, to be subject one to another with reverence and respect and appreciation. In Paul's day, the power and authority was held only by the man of the household. In Paul's day, that men were kind of domineering. It was all about the man. The man had full control of his house and of his slaves, of everything around him. He had full control. William Barclay writes this, "And the Roman father had absolute power over his family. He could sell them as slaves. He could make them work in his fields, even in chains. He could punish as he liked and could even inflict the death penalty on his family. Further, the power of the Roman father extended over the child's whole life. So long as the father lived, a Roman son never came to age. Even when he was a grown man, even when he was a leader of his community, he remained within his father's absolute power. It is true that the father's power was seldom carried to these limits, but public options would have not allowed it. But the fact remains that in Paul's time, the child was absolutely under the power, full power, of his father." Paul's words were very necessary for today's society. He understood that families were dysfunctional then, and they're still dysfunctional now, and we needed a Savior who could come in and help us do things right. In fact, most fathers ruled the home with an iron fist in that day. And there's still some dads and moms who will rule their household and their children with an iron fist. The father held the power of life and death over his family. A father in that day could force his children out of the home at any time, at any age. He could sell them as slaves. He could enslave them, put them in chains and to work the field. He could declare a sentence of death on them. And so the Apostle Paul was bringing us back to the relationship. He was bringing us back to Colossians 3:20 that tells us that children ought to obey and honor their parents because it's pleasing unto God. He's bringing us back to the Ten Commandments. He was bringing us back to what Deuteronomy says. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's break this down the way God intended for us to live. In Ephesians chapter 1, it reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He speaks about action. He speaks about doing something, putting something into action. Children are to obey their parents. The word means to submit, to comply with, to heed, to follow directions and instruction. It literally means to hear under. There is a God design for the family of authority. The man is the leader of his household. The wife is a helpmate, is to help him lead, but he leads the household. The children are under the authority of the parents. That is God's design for the family. And so, we see that children need to listen to the voice of his or her parents. Attentively. They are to respond to what their parents are telling them. It means to line up under your parents' authority with the rules and guidelines by listening carefully to what they have to say because they know what's best for you. They love you with all their heart. This obey has an imagery like a soldier that's getting ready to go into battle and he's waiting on the commander officer to tell him what to do next. That's the image here. That obey means that that we as children wait to hear from our parents to know what we need to do and to act and to be. It speaks of action. In this picture of children who submit themselves to the will of their parents by obeying them in all things. in all things. Not just when you want to, not when your peers is trying to get you to do something else, or your boyfriend or girlfriend, children, students. What he is talking about here is this. If you are under the roof of your parents, if you are under the roof of your parents and they're providing support for you, if they are clothing you, if they're feeding you, if they are financially giving you money, the word says you are to obey them because that's what pleases God. Even as college students and young adults who are living in their 20s or even their 30s, says, because the Greek word tekenia here means children of all ages that are living under the roof of their parents. I remember when I moved back at age 23, or left at age 23, moved back at home at age 25. Mom and Dad, first night there, we're glad that you're here, but the rules still apply when you were in high school. I still had to call Mom and Dad if I was going to be out past midnight at age 25, 26 years old. I still had to abide by their rules because I was under their roof, under their authority. Many times, kids, when they hit 16, 17, 18 years old, I had a gentleman in my office the other day, 18 years old, just was frustrated about his parents giving him some instructions. And I said, are you living under their roof? Yes. Are they feeding you? Yes. Are they clothing you? Yes. Can you make it out on your own? No. Then you abide by what your parents say. Because you live under their authority and roof. The day that you as children can make it on your own and you are out underneath your parents' nest or their home is the day then you can do what you want to do. He says, obey. Obey. It means to listen to them, to follow their directions. You need to do what they tell you to do. Children, obey your parents. You see, there's something born within us when we're born because of the fall, right? There's something within us that we just don't want to do what our parents have us to do, right? Even us as adults don't like other people telling us what to do, right? Come on. Yeah. I know some of you all because I've talked with some of you all. Right? But what he's saying here is that because of the rebellious life, because that sinful nature, because we once were dead in sin, that is the reason why we are rebellious and don't want to obey and want to take care of self. We want to do what I want to do as children and teenagers and college students. But he says now, in Ephesians chapter 3 and 4 and other parts of Ephesians, now that you're in Christ, Christ has given you a new way, a new standard, a new way of to live, and that is under the authority of your parents, you obey them because they're taking care of you. And we need to do that. So the obedience lays a strong foundation for their life in the long term. And then secondly, look, not only in action, he says in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's about an attitude. His children are also told to honor their parents. The honor means to respect, to revere, to hold high regard. Think a lot of your parents. Have a high opinion of your parents. Look up to your parents. Appreciate your parents. And there's a lot of children in today's society that are not very thankful for what their parents give them, or how they treat their parents. There's a lot of parents today that are not very thankful for their children, but how they treat their children. But when we obey and honor in the way of God's design for the family, then we experience the fullness of what God has in store for the family. For the family. This speaks about a child's attitude toward his parents, telling them what to do. Children, students, college students, or young adults, if you're living on the roof of your parents, what he is saying here is this. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he says that you are to honor and respect and appreciate your parents for what they're doing for you. It means appreciate. Be thankful. that they're giving you clothes, they're giving you food, they're taking care of you, they're providing for all your needs, because you're not mature enough to take care of all your needs at this point in time in life. We need to have the right attitude, because a person, a child or teenager, can obey their parents fully and still have the wrong attitude. They can obey, they can follow the directions of their parents, but deep down in their heart, they're talking bad about their parents behind their back. They're mumbling to themselves. They're downgrading their parents. They're talking about their parents to their friends. And in their heart, they don't have the right attitude. And God says that is disobedient, that is wrong, and that is sin. If you want to obey your parents the way Christ and God's Word says, then you have a desire to obey them because you love God, you're a follower of Christ, and you want to be obedient to Christ. And as you're obedient to Christ, He gives you that desire to be obedient to your parents. It's how you live out your Christian walk as children, as students, as young adults. Honor your father and mother is the emphasis here on the attitude. It's merely not the act of obedience, it's the attitude. I love my parents. I know the parents love me. I know my parents have want what's best for me. They're teaching me the right ways. So I am going to show my appreciation and respect to them, and I'm going to obey them. It is my heart's desire to love them the way they love me. And so, Apostle Paul is trying to help the Ephesus church and their families to understand this concept. Children should have great respect for their parents. Be careful not to backtalk your parents. They should never run their parents down to their friends. They should respect their parents just as they would the Lord. Because here's the thing. When we are disobedient to our parents, when we're disobedient and disrespectful to our spouse, when we're disobedient and disrespectful one to another, we're being disrespectful and disobedient to God, our Heavenly Father. We're not walking out the Christian walk the way God intended it for. And then in verse 1, he also says this. He says, I obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Reveals that the child should obey and honor his parents because that's what God commands them to do. That's what God wants them to do because it is right and it is in the sight of the Lord. And when it says in the Lord, is several a couple of things. One, that the children are in Christ, and therefore they're being obedient to what God's Word says toward their parents. Also, in the Lord means that the parents are helping the children as they teach their children to obey because it's right in the Lord. It's how our relationship. It is the outflow of your Christian walk to obey and to honor the Lord, which will result of obeying and honoring your parents. When God is your Lord and you obey and honor Him, you'll have no trouble following and obeying and honoring your parents. And in verses 2 and 3, talks about obeying the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. He's referring back to what the Old Testament Ten Commandments says and what Deuteronomy says. And he's referring back when God made a covenant to His people. He says, if you obey my commands, if you follow me the way I want you to follow me, I will take care of you. I will bless you with land. I will give you a promise. I will take care of you. So the Apostle Paul was referring back to the Old Testament times and bringing it into the context here and saying, children, if you obey your parents and honor them, God will give you a satisfied, fulfilling walk with Him. He will be with you. He will guide you. He will bless you in a tremendous way if you're obedient. Now, some commentary says when it says enjoy long life on earth means age. That is not necessarily the case. Because we know children pass away and die at any age. What he's talking about here is really this. You are likely to live longer on this earth, more that you are obedient and walking with Christ the way that Christ wants you to walk. You're not just talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. People are seeing Christ in you. Obedience is the act. Honor is the attitude. Submissive is obedience, and loving submission is honor. Here's a caution for you children, students, and young adults living under your parents' roof. To dishonor or disobey your parents is rebelling against God. It's rebelling against God. It's going against God's ways, God's standards, God's principle for your life. And when you disobey your parents and show no when you disrespect them and you're not following their lead and their teachings, then you're disobeying God as a child of God. And then he brings it, closes it back in verse 4. Fathers. And when he says fathers here, he's really referring to two things. One, fathers, because you're the spiritual leader, you're the man, you're the leader of the household spiritually. You are to lead you and the mom to lead your children in the ways of the Lord. But also refers back to verse 1. It says, children, obey what? Your parents, both mom and dad, not just one or the other. They're supposed to honor and obey both. But he's talking about here, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Wow. How many fathers here have done that? Yeah. How many moms have done that? How many neighbors have done that? How many churchmen have done that? What he's talking about here, the phrase refers to a pattern of treatment that builds up resentment in the child. Parents are to avoid causing their children to mope, to worry, to fret, or to dwell with anger in their lives. Why did the Apostle Paul here use the word anger? Anger, out of anger, is the most common emotion that leads to a sinful heart. It's out of that anger that brings that sinfulness of the heart out of us. Anger controls us. Anger pushes everything that we want to be and desire to be in Christ away. It confuses the children and leads them to be rebellious children. Secondly, why anger? It takes over all other emotions. The joy, the kindness, the compassion, the forgiveness, the desire to live for Christ. That's why Apostle Paul here was referring to anger. Because when you get angry, parents or children, are you very kind? Are you loving? Are you forgiving? Are you passionate? Are you in the right frame of mind in God? Is the anger controlling you, or is the Spirit of God controlling you? See, anger controls us. Anger, he's saying here, fathers, do not anger your children. Do not provoke them to anger. Don't be harsh. Don't humiliate them. Don't ridicule them. Don't give them a lot of sarcasm. Be negative to them all the time. Don't give them impossible standards that they cannot reach. Do not withdraw affection compared to other children. Nag at them. Always negative. They can't do anything right in your sight. And when a child hears that over and over and over and over again, there builds up an anger within them. And when you're trying to really, that day, trying to teach them something, the ways of God, they're going to disobey you. Because that anger is controlling them. That doesn't mean that if you truly instruct them and teach them in the right, properly way, and they get angry, their anger is on them, not you. And they are sinning, not you. He goes on and says, fathers do not provoke your children to anger. Instead, bring them up. Bring them up in what? Bring them up. That carries the idea of training your children, of bringing them to the place of maturity spiritually, physically, emotionally, to prepare them to go out on their own and make it in life, to face what the world throws at them. The Apostle Paul gives us several ways to do this as parents. Number one, very quickly. Parents are to discipline their children. My mom did that quite a bit. My mom believed in discipline. There's a lot of parents today don't believe in discipline. They just let their children run around and do whatever they please. And they go, whatever. Discipline is not saying, don't do that, you're going to get in trouble. Don't do that, you're going to get in trouble. Don't do that, you're going to get in trouble. How many times do we hear parents say that? And then the parent gets angry. And then they take that anger out on their child. My parents told you once. Sometimes they told you twice. But by the second or third time, if you didn't obey, you were in trouble. The problem with a lot of children today, you're confusing them, parents. We're confusing them. We tell them, don't do this, and then we keep telling them, and we don't give them any consequences. So they keep on doing it until there's anger, or until there's some tension, or until there's some strife, and then what happens? There brings that fight into the home. If you train them from day one, from the second time you tell them to obey, there's going to be consequences. Time they hit this age group, teenagers, they'll be more than likely to obey you. But what happens is we as parents think it's cute when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And then when they hit elementary school, kindergarten, we try to reel it back in and it's almost too late. We need to start from day one of disciplining our children. Now, that's between you and the Lord, how you discipline. My parents did not mind putting a hand on the backside, called the bottom. Matter of fact, very quickly, I was in seventh grade and I was talking too much, and the principal, imagine that, me talking too much. At the beginning of seventh grade year, a friend of mine got in trouble a lot in elementary school, and Mom was trying to get me separated from Barty, and thankfully, because Barty went to the state penitentiary after high school, so I was thankful Mom and Dad kind of stepped in on that. But I was just talking, I was disrupting the school class. And so the teacher went to the principal, and my parents knew the principal very well. We just lived not too far from the principal, and one of his older sons went to school with one of my older brothers, so we knew the principal very well. He was 6'6", weighed about 250, had a muscular build, and Mom said, I'll tell you what, how to train him, how to teach him. Take him in front of the class and give him 3 licks. That would be a no-no in today's society, wouldn't it? But guess what? He did that. I didn't talk anymore. Because when I got home that night, I got in trouble with Mom and Dad as well. Parents, you need to discipline your children. A 5 or 10 minute timeout will not do it. One day taking away a toy will not do it. My parents would take something away for 2, 3, 4 weeks. You've got to hang in there. You've got to be consistent. You can't be wishy-washy about it. Mom, Dad, you got to work together. You cannot have one being more than the other, because the children will know who they can go to and who not. They'll work the parents if you're not careful. You got to work together and be consistent. And so he's talking about here to discipline them. Discipline is to have authority, to punish or to correct, to help children have self-control, not to have chaos in their life. Listen, parents, discipline is the function for parents that God uses to help a child to be where they need to be. Proverbs 3:11-12, through discipline the Lord uses to bring fruitful righteousness. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to you. We need to bring discipline to our children. Secondly, parents are to educate their children. The word discipline also means not to only correct, but to teach, to educate, to instruct, to prepare, to train, the whole education. Children are to learn all that they need while they're under your care, to prepare them to enter the world. Parents have the responsibility of teaching their children the things they need to know about the Lord. We are to expose them to the Bible and to God's Word and how to live God's way. We are to teach them the Word of God. We are to help them understand the gospel. We are to teach them right from wrong based on what the Bible says, not what the world says. Parents are to educate and train their children the ways of righteousness and holiness. Proverbs tells us this. Proverbs 1:8 tells us that listen what your parents teach us. They are helping you to become a gracious person in Christ. Proverbs 2:1 tells the children to listen as the parents give them divine truth. Proverbs 3:1 says that children ought to listen to their parents as God's truth is given to them so they can surround God's truth around them and live it out. Proverbs 4:1 says, obey your parents because they are faithful to Christ. Proverbs 4:10 says, obey your parents and listen to them and listen to their teaching in Christ because they will give you what Christ offers you. Proverbs 5:1 says, to listen to your teaching of your parents because they will bring you great joy. Proverbs 7:1 says, listen to the teaching of your parents and put the teaching of your parents on your heart and apply it. Proverbs 8:32 says, as you listen to your parents' teaching, as they guide you and direct you and instruct you, you will receive God's blessing as you will listen and obey. Now we know that a lot of children in today's society don't obey. They're rebellious. A rebellious child, one who disobeys. Proverbs 30:11-15 tells us they want their own way. They think they know it all. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They have all the answers. They're very arrogant, selfish, self-centered, unkind. They drain the life out of their parents. Proverbs teaches us as parents to teach, to instruct, to guide, to correct our children in the ways of God. And we need to do that. And then thirdly, we need to teach them. We need to evangelize them. Parents, it is your responsibility to share Christ with your own children. We as staff and other churchmen here can help you and lead you and guide you and help you to know how. But it is your responsibility to share Christ through your words and through your actions and through your modeling that out, but you teaching them what God's Word says. It is your responsibility to evangelize your children. And then parents are to encourage their children, to counsel, to give encouragement, to uplift them and not bring them down. This is a healthy family. When mom and dad understands their biblical authority and their way to teach their children, when children obeys and honors their parents, when husband and wife are really relating to what God's standard is for them, that's a healthy family. You'll still have struggles, but it'll be healthy. We will share the gospel and are witnesses of God's grace when parents bring up and teach their children the ways of God. We will share the gospel and be a witness of God's grace when parents discipline children in a godly way. We will share the gospel and be a witness of God's grace when parents encourage and guide their children in a biblical way. We will share the gospel and witness of God's grace when children obey and honor their parents. We will share the gospel and be a witness of God's grace when the Christian home is a Spirit-filled home. The bottom line is this. Parents have the privilege and responsibility to be making disciples to their children. By sharing the Word, showing the Word, and teaching the Word in their home. This is God's standard. This is God's way of living. This is God's way. As we close, I want to ask some questions before we come and sing the invitation. Is there a change that a mom and dad needs to do here? Is everything right in your relationship with God as a mom and dad? Are you leading, dads, your home the way God wants you to lead your home spiritually and lead your wife and your children in the ways of God? Mom and dad, are you working together to teach, to instruct, to guide, to protect, to lead, to discipline, to correct your children in the ways of God? Children, is everything right in your relationship so therefore you can obey and honor your parents the way God tells us to honor and obey? As we sing, this altar is here for you as parents and as children to pray as a family, to get right with God, just to bring some prayer concerns, some burdens on behalf of your family to the altar. Allow God's Spirit to move. If you're a first time here with us, this is God's standard. If you are here today and you do not know Christ, we want to introduce you to this Christ that can help you to have a life and life abundantly. If you are here today and you are a child of God and you're not living the way that God wants you to live, not only in your home, personally, today's the day to get right with God. It's between you and God. It's between you and God this morning. No one else. Between you and God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. And God, this is pretty heavy stuff. Because, man, there's a lot of families that are dysfunctional, a lot of homes that are not living the Christian way. And God, I have failed you in so many ways of being a husband and a father to my own family. And God, I just pray that today will be a renewal, a recommitment for dads and moms and children. That they will have the right relationship with one another and have the right way of living in their Christian home the way God wants them to live. God, as we sing, may the Holy Spirit move. May the Holy Spirit touch a dad, a husband. May the Holy Spirit touch a mom, a wife. May the Holy Spirit touch a child, a teenager, college student, young adult, who are living under their parents' authority, their roof, and they're not really being the children the way you've called them to be. God, help us to repent. Help us to come forward and just say, God, I haven't lived the way you want me to live. But I'm committing today to be the dad, the mom, the wife, the husband, the child, because I love you, and I want to be obedient to you as my spiritual father, and therefore I'm going to be obedient in my home. God, whatever decision needs to be made today, may we have boldness, may we have courage to make that commitment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand?